honest to God. This is a teaching where the Holy Spirit wants us to stop pretending and realize that He is safe to come to with our deepest wounds and our greatest hurt. Now, He was showing me today, not only through a poem that He inspired, about allowing ourselves to lay ourselves bare, including the greatest pains and betrayals and wounds. But He was showing me that trying to keep ourselves from vulnerability with Him is disastrous, at least, and is insanity at most. For how can we who say we trust in Him for our very salvation, our very redemption, our very life eternal, then withhold the things that are happening to us here on this earth that have wounded us? Human emotions do not frighten God, nor should they be something that we hide from Him. Now, in Psalm 147:3, and most of us would know this psalm by heart, not the psalm, but the verse. He heals the broken heart, and He binds up their wounds. Or in the King James Version, He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. And then in Psalm 51:17, He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. We think that He will be ashamed of our brokenness. But how can that be when He is a Savior who was broken for us? And while we try to bind up our own wounds, whether it's through medication or being preoccupied with activity or chasing after things that matter not, when we do that, we are denying that God Himself, who gave His life for us, can help us now in our troubles, in our pain, in our disappointment, in our betrayals, as if He's not interested. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He must be interested in the pains in our hearts. He was showing me today that we can identify with Him completely because He identified with us. Not only was He tempted in all ways and never sinned, but He was in so much devastating pain in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we're going to go there to Luke 22:42-44. There Jesus Christ is in the garden on His own, away from His disciples, who He's cautioned to not be tempted, to pray so they would not be tempted. And in the garden, it says, and He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This is our God. This is the God we can trust with our hardest pain. The things that don't make sense, the things that have hurt us so, and most of the time it's people that have not just disappointed us. It's one thing to be disappointed, it's another to be betrayed. And when that happens, our hearts are torn asunder. And we are not to pretend it hasn't happened, and we are not to deny it, and we are not to deny Him the help He wants to offer us. Now, He's telling me, and as any person would. We don't want to usually divulge our personal difficulties in a vulnerable way. But it is the only way I'm going to get this message across, he's telling me. So I have to forego my vanity and I have to reveal the things he wants me to reveal. And the first thing that he's reminding me of is a time when I actually heard that scripture. I was in a teaching position in another state, and while I was listening to the weekly devotions for the junior school, it was in regards to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I heard, and at this time I was in my early days as a Christian, I didn't understand the Holy Spirit's voice as well as I do now, and I'm still learning so much. But I heard him say, when they spoke about the cup being removed, I heard him say to me, are you willing to have this cup of suffering? I did not know exactly what he was referring to because the incident had not occurred yet, but I agreed, not knowing why. A few weeks later, I lost my first baby, and the experience was something almost unbearable. And it wasn't until recently that he reminded me of his asking me, would I receive this cup of suffering? It isn't always the devil taking things and destroying our lives. There are afflictions. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them of them all. And sometimes affliction is a way in which God carves us into his own, like his son, Jesus. Because we have many things in the way of being like Jesus. We have our self-centeredness. We have our desire to be approved by man. We have our needs, which we often put before our seeking after God. There are so many things. And that was not the first time I lost a baby. There were three other times, so there were four times. And in that process, which I thought I would never be able to endure, and even out of the process now that I'm a few years after it occurring, I can look at it, understanding it from a completely different place, and knowing that those children are waiting for me in heaven. They aren't lost. They will never be lost. And I will meet them one day. And what a glory that is. So the final story isn't here on earth, church. Don't worry that things have gone wrong, that you have missed out on what you thought was your greatest dream. That's what he wants us to know, because he's our greatest dream, and we have him if we're in him. And although in much of modern Christianity, in particular circles, there is a lot of focus on us being in charge, believers being in charge, controlling all the circumstance, that is a lie. We, yes, have authority from Jesus Christ because we're in Christ. And we are to exercise it according to the will of the Spirit of the living God in us, and nothing else. We are to do what our Father commands us, and we are to be attentive and incline our ears to him, and to follow his Spirit, and do nothing more and nothing less. Not do what somebody else has been parading or promoting, but to do what he tells us to do. We are his children individually. And then we are many members of the one body. Our God, and we should be so grateful to this, or for this, is sovereign. We are in his hand, And whatever happens to us, whether it is something we desire or something we don't desire, we are still in His hand. And when we know that, and we are willing to submit to Him and His will, we can then know that all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. That includes people absolutely devastating you emotionally. All things He works together for our good. But what our part is to allow Him to not fight Him. And one of the ways we fight Him the most is hiding our hurt. And He is saying, enough. You will never grow in Me in the way that I have planned if you hide what you truly feel in your heart. And you'll never heal. We are so afraid of revealing ourselves to God. And we can say, oh, what a foolish idea. We know He can see everything anyway. He knows the end from the beginning. We can say all these scriptures. We can have all these concepts. But what do we actually do in reality? Do we give Him our heart or not? That's the final question. It's like Peter telling Jesus, oh, Lord, I will die for you. I will go to jail with you. And Jesus, what did Jesus tell him? He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before you will thrice deny that you know me. And of course, this happened. And that's what we do. We say, oh, we trust the Lord. Oh, you know, we'll give Him everything. Oh, we love you. We have our hands raised and we're worshiping Him. But when it comes down to it, and we have pain in our heart that is so piercing, we can barely tolerate it. So we take every other means of denying it and denying Him the help He wants to offer. He really wants to get that through to us. I want to offer my help. Do not deny me. Do not deny Christ. He already paid for our pain. It says He took our griefs and sorrows. That does not mean we won't go through things, but it does mean that we will triumph in them. He will bear them for us when they are unbearable. I remember with that first child that I lost, that He showed me that He was the suffering servant for me, so I could bear it. And the second child, which cut me even deeper, because I couldn't believe it would happen again. And I railed against God to His face, not running from Him and deciding I would disown Him, but yelled and cried out and said horrid things, because I was so devastated. I was broken and shattered in pieces. And what amazed me is there were no lightning bolts coming my way. But instead, when I demanded, in a very stroppy way, as they say in Australia, or feisty way, as they say in America, I said, after I yelled and vented my heart out for 2 days in the desert, I said to Him, okay, you can heal me now. And the incredible nature of God, the mercy that we don't even have any idea, we haven't even touched the surface of His mercy. The next morning, when I awoke, He gave me joy unspeakable. And it was for about 10 days. It was the kind of joy that people pay a great deal of money to experience, and even better than that. It was a joy I couldn't create or conjure up or force. It was His joy that helped me get through the worst time, the earliest days of loss and grief. So he is not expecting us to be immune to our humanity. Because if he could sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that he was going to not only be crucified, but separated from him, his very Father, the Word from the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was never separation. He knew what he was to face. And he felt such immeasurable pressure and burden for our sakes. If he could do that for us and still go to the cross, can he not help us with our pain now? He says this in Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. So we will go through trial and trouble. But when we do, he's with us. When we do, we will not be overcome. When we do, we will not be consumed and destroyed. So he's asking us to not and to stop callousing our hearts over with protection, self-protection. It is no protection at all. Self-protection comes from our own need to cover up. His protection sets us free. He promises us in Psalm 50:15, and there's so many verses about his deliverance. He says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." So obviously we're going to have things to be delivered from. And even now I can feel that I'm avoiding the things that he wants me to share. And although I'm not going to be excessively personal in detail, I am going to share that in this last year where he has poured through poetry as if it's sap running from the trees. I don't know, something like 80 or 90 poems. Because I have undergone a huge tumult in my life, and I'm still in process of healing from it. And I too have thought that I need to pull myself up from my bootstraps and be strong and be courageous and not admit the weakness of that brokenness. But one day, beloved, for that is who we are in the beloved, one day it will catch up with us. If we do not honor God enough to trust him with our pain as we trusted him with our redemption and our salvation, as we trusted him with the cross. Ultimately, it is our admission of our lack of trust in God. If we do not give him our hearts openly, we are saying, Lord, I can't trust you with this. This is too personal, too painful. And instead of allowing him to be our champion, who he is already, we tend to champion ourselves. And in Psalm 25, 14, he's just showing me this. It says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." When in fearing him includes trusting him completely. If we trust him completely, his secret is with us, and he'll show us his covenant. How personal a God this is. Isn't that whom we've fallen in love with? Isn't that whom we follow? Isn't that whom died for us? A personal God. So when we have personal problems, are we not to go to him? The truth is, we hide from it because it hurts to reveal it. And he knows that. He knows the piercings of a heart. For his was. He's not ashamed or embarrassed at our weakness. He's actually poured out his very love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we can seek the Holy Spirit's counsel and wisdom and comfort with everything that occurs in our lives. We don't have to be superheroes, self-appointed, and then deadened to the living God because we're so busy pretending. He spoke to me recently, just today, very recently, and said, "You don't have to pretend." And I had to inquire, "Pretend about what, Lord?" And I had all of my little answers. And then he showed me what it was. It was, you don't have to pretend that you're not hurting, that you haven't been devastated and wounded. And here he is, even just now, showing me another scripture, another word, his living word. We have to realize the word of God, the Bible, the actual written word of God is a living word. Living and active, it says. Sharper than a double-edged sword. Able to cut through bone and marrow, soul and spirit, discerning the intents and thoughts of the heart. He knows what we're doing. And you know what's amazing? When you realize the word of God, we often say the word of God and we just mean the printed word. The word of God is Jesus Christ. He's not separate from his written word. He's the word become flesh. Listen to this. What a glorious scripture in Psalm 22, 24. For he, God, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. And he's just showing me that now. And I happen to have it highlighted, but I wasn't looking for it. I hadn't listed it on some kind of paper for this teaching. But this is the truth. He doesn't despise or abhor our affliction. He cares. He says he won't hide his face. But when we cry out to him, he hears. Do we believe that? Now, he inspired another poem today. And it's called Honest to God. And he wants me to read it because it was written through me, to me, and to the body of Christ. Honest to God. Do you think it really pleases me to pretend you do not feel as you do? Is that what I require? A mask, a pretense, a cloak of religion? If that is what you offer, you cannot receive from me the depth I have to share. I cannot go deep where there is shallowness. Depth requires a willingness to be excavated, trudging and unearthing the layers beneath the seas. Why do you hide from me what is truly in your heart? Will hiding make it disappear from view? Are you ashamed of the thoughts and feelings that clutter your mind and torment your soul? If so, would it not be better to give them to the one who can heal them, who can balm you from the boiling cauldron of emotion? It is the hiding that causes the wall between us. That is why you are dull of light. That is why I cannot hold you as I desire. Be not afraid of the pain that you will feel as you let me dig away your past, your hurts, and sorrows. For it is far less painful than dullness with me. Remember, I made your heart, so I know, too, how to repair it. Would you let my tender hand take the tattered and bloody flesh of your heart and mend it, remake it, renew it? For if you do, the voices that squawk and demand attention will suddenly be silent at last. And you will know the Prince of Peace is true, is real, is yours. So come now, let us talk a while of the hurts that crowd the hours of your days, so that at last what has been brutish, wrong, and cruel will never again steal your life or disfigure your heart. It won't take long, my child, for the hardest part was already accomplished on the cross long ago. For every lash, scar, and tear his flesh endured, you and your freedom were bought. So walk a while in my garden and tell me the secrets of your heart. Lay them bare, and I, with the care of the master surgeon, will knit together what has been torn asunder. It will not be a violent operation. Oh, no, I will be delicate with you, my gem. For my cause is not to hurt, but to heal. Now lay your heart upon my surgeon's clean and ready table, and at long last be made whole. That is the God of all creation, including us, that offers himself and offered himself as our living sacrifice. And we are now to offer ourselves as his living sacrifice. Yes, to a lost and sorrowful and damaged world, but also giving our hearts that are so terribly lacerated and filled with pain, trusting him, giving our bodies, as it says in Romans 12, as living sacrifices, giving ourselves to him, entrusting him with matters to us most. Lord, we ask you, help us, Holy Spirit, to not hide from you anymore, to not hide our hurts, or hold on to what damage was done, but to allow you to be that balm of Gilead, to pour in, to do your surgery, that we will be complete and whole and made to look like the Son, Jesus Christ, and that whatever has happened to us, Lord, is redeemed, is never wasted, that we allow you to turn it into what you desire us to be, first and foremost, for your glory, and because, Lord, you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.